Have you ever had a big event or special occasion where you've been really excited and you've anticipated it for a long time leading up? Maybe it's a big birthday, a getaway somewhere that you're really looking forward to. But now, looking back, you only remember abstract memories of that time. Like maybe the waiter was so grumpy and so horrible that you've laughed about it at every restaurant since. Or the pool that you were so freaking excited to spend a week in was closed for maintenance when you arrived, but you ended up finding an amazing little private beach anyway. So for my hubby and I on our wedding day, the things that stick in our mind are when we were walking around in Stirling. So it's like this little Adelaide Hills town, all green and leafy, where we got married. And we were taking photos in the afternoon, and a few kids were kicking a football on the front lawn of our hotel. So we asked if we could join them. And we had a few photos of us fully dressed in our wedding gear, kicking around a footy, just with some kids out the front. It was fun. And before that, we'd got ready together and enjoyed some grilled cheese sandwiches in our hotel room on the floor. I don't know why we ate them on the floor, but we sat on the floor. And we ate the grilled cheese sandwiches, and that was our lunch on our wedding day. It was just some quiet time together. The point is, it's not always the things that you drop heaps of your budget on that will stick in your memory or make your wedding day special. Sometimes it's just giving yourself the time and opportunity for things to unfold that will give you the most authentic and wonderful moments and memories of your day. So if you're sick of bleeding money, if you're sick of dropping cash every second week towards a new trend that maybe your maid of honour saw on socials or something just to make your wedding extra fun or unique, why don't you have a listen to these 9 trending wedding tweaks? So tweaks rather than total and expensive overhauls, you know, so think about it like a nice little facial scrub rather than full-blown facelift. Because most of them don't cost a cent, and yet they are golden opportunities to have a more connected and enjoyable wedding day. Let's get stuck into it.
Unbridly is a community of pro wedding vendors who believe in freedom and integrity in weddings, giving you options, solutions, tips and tricks to create the experience and memories that you and your fiancé really want and deserve. Because we believe that weddings are a team sport. With how-tos, stories and interviews with recently married couples, we find out what went right and what they'd change if they could go back and do it all over again. I'm Camille and welcome to the Unbridly podcast.
So for me, when someone talks at me, like on a podcast, I really need a list or a system or a process, a framework, something to help me visualize and actually fucking use the info that they talk about. I guess you could say that I'm a visual learner. So if you're anything like me, and with that in mind, to help you with thinking through these trending tweaks and working out if they're of any help to you in your plans, I've listed them chronologically as if each thing were occurring in a typical wedding day timeline. So for number one, I'll start with things that I'm seeing more and more couples doing in regard to their ceremony to really enhance their experience. And so first and foremost, that is seating your immediate fam or whoever is assigned to the seats at the front of your ceremony diagonally across from you. So if you can imagine traditionally in a hetero marriage, the bride would be on the left and the groom would be standing on the right as the guests are watching the ceremony. Bride on the left, groom on the right. I've told you why before, haven't I? I'm certain that I have. But for those who don't know, the groom is on the right so he can reach for his sword, that's right, sword, with his right hand to defend his bride against anyone who might want to kidnap her and hold her for ransom. Yeah. In this day and age, it's laughable to think about, but in ancient times, it was a real threat to the success of a wedding. And I must say, these days, there's no real reason why anyone can't stand or sit, for that matter, wherever the hell they want to. I've had brides stand on the right because that's their good side. I've had two grooms pick their sides because one was shorter than the other and the grass was sloped in favour of the shorter groom. And I've had couples swap sides depending on who's wearing the most makeup, who's, you know, had to invest the most in what is going on their face, and the fact that the sun is like blazing into their eyes and they've gone, hell, I've spent hundreds on this face and makeup, you can face the sun. And so, yeah, it seriously doesn't matter anymore. Anyway, I digress. So just imagine for me, okay? Bride is on the left, groom is on the right, and their immediate family or favourite people, you know, whoever is given the honour of being seated in the front row, because, yeah, for the other rows of chairs or seats or pews, it really doesn't matter as much. So imagine these people sitting there. You're still with me? Bride's on the left, groom's on the right. They are seated diagonally across from their child or brother, sister, grandchild, whoever it is. So the bride's parents would sit on the right-hand side of the aisle and the groom's parents would sit on the left of the aisle. The thinking here is that for my ceremonies, at the beginning, during the welcome and introduction, maybe a giving away, maybe a reading or a bit about the couple's history and what they want for the future, etc., etc., it's all about making all of the guests feel included, special, honoured, loved, welcomed. It's about the connection between the couple getting married and their people, their community, the coming together of everyone. But as the ceremony progresses through the asking, the vows, maybe a ring exchange, it becomes all about the couple, you know, just them. So then they're speaking to each other, you know, their toes are facing each other, they're looking at each other, they're speaking to each other, and they're looking directly at each other, of course, maybe holding hands. So this is in the civil or non-religious ceremonies that I conduct. But I feel like this could be even more important in a church ceremony when the couple are often encouraged to face the priest or the minister, etc., at the front and not face their guests as much. So being on the diagonal might be the only chance that the immediate family will have of being able to see the expressions on the side of the couple's faces. So yeah, at the start, when we're talking to everyone, I have my couple's face out and that's fine. But then, as the ceremony becomes more about them, they step in, they close off, they turn their back to their wedding party if they're standing up there with them, and it's just about them. And that's beautiful, but visually it can really help if their immediate fam or best friends or whoever it is are sitting diagonally across from them. They get a better look. They're at a better angle. They can see more of your beautiful face. Okay, the second tweak is having your wedding party sit after the processional and maybe after they've been loved on a bit, their gorgeous outfits have been seen or they've been introduced. So as your nearest and dearest, so we're talking about bridesmaids, groomsmen, flower dudes, bridesmen, groomswomen, all of them. They're, I guess, 9 times out of 10, they're standing up the front with the couple getting married during the ceremony. But what I'm saying is they don't have to for the entire ceremony. So maybe once they've been seen, you know, we've chosen their outfits for a reason. They're looking great. You know, maybe makeup's beautiful, hair, whatever, amazing shoes, lots of bling, whatever it is, they're looking great and they are your people and you've chosen them. So I think it's important once you all arrive down the aisle or you all start however your ceremony is going to start, that they're loved on a bit, as I said. But then they're the most important people in your lives. That's why you chose them. So let them enjoy your ceremony. It's a gift that you can give them. They can also help to lead your other guests in any crowd participation that you have. You know, they're little plants, if you will, within your ceremony, within your guests. So give them that. Let them watch your ceremony by having them sit down or move into the spot where your guests are standing, seated, however it's happening. Let them enjoy your ceremony too. Tweak number three is stopping during the recessional. So you know the recessional, right? Processional You're walking up, you're walking in, you're starting the ceremony. It's a movement to the ceremony space. The recessional is your movement away from the ceremony space. Quite often, after you're pronounced as married, hurrah, sometimes rose petals are going, you know, cameras are clicking, the whole thing. So we're talking about stopping during that recessional for maybe a dip, you know, like one partner might dip the other and give him a pash. Have a bit of a kiss midway. Your guests are cheering in the background, maybe just around you. You know, if you stop halfway down the aisle, you've got some guests behind you and some beside you. That can be gorgeous. There could be rose petals being thrown. It's a beautiful scene and an amazing photo opportunity too. If my couple are signing and then going down the aisle, I try to remind them at the signing table so they don't miss that moment. Because you can create it later, but doing it in that moment, doing it having the dip and kiss or just a kiss. I did have one couple recently who went, oh, I've got a dodgy wrist. You know, if I go and dip her, she's going to land on her head, you know, and my wrist. And I said, well, the problem is dropping your wife on her head. He goes, no, it'll really hurt my wrist. I'm like, yeah, you're focused on the right things. Anyway, so they were saying, I don't want to do a dip and kiss, but I'd love to have a quick kiss. So we did that. And we waited until they're all the way down the aisle. So they had all the guests behind them. They're all in soft focus. Nice big kiss. They held it for their photographer for a couple of seconds. Very important. And then I told their wedding party, go down, go after them, go and give them massive hugs, massive kisses. Yeah, it's super cool. Has a lot of energy behind it rather than trying to recreate it later. Trending tweak number 4 is having a kitchen slab cake and cutting a fake one when you enter. Now, there's a whole episode with Teresa Welch from Lion's Den Cakes. So that's episode number 11, how to choose the perfect wedding cake for the season, your guests, and your budget, where she goes through the practicality and the economy of having a kitchen slab and a fake cake to cut, like out there in your reception space. But it can be a smart choice, not only for practicality and money concerns, but especially in summer when your display wedding cake shouldn't really be out on display in the heat for too long before things start to melt, slide, sour, etc. It's a super smart alternative. And really, who's going to know? Number 5, the other shift or change that I'm seeing for those who like an alternative or don't really have a sweet tooth, which I mean, I can't relate to you, but anyway, is the popularity of having a champagne tower in lieu of cake, with or without a dessert table or roaming desserts, which are now huge as well. I've seen champagne towers poured straight after the ceremony and then the glasses handed around for post-ceremony toasts. Or just as the couple are introduced into their reception, and also instead of the cake cutting, but just before the speeches. That's not really the most practical way, but there are a few different times during your wedding where you can have the champagne tower pouring and then handing out of glasses. The other advantage, I think, is a champagne tower pour can also help keep your guests on the dance floor and mingling rather than at their tables eating cake. I guess you could box it up and that, you know, it could be taken home. It's not the cake's fault, but it can really free things up a bit. Although I don't see a problem with both. I mean, yeah, you can have your cake and eat it too, eat it at home. But roaming desserts are very popular as well. So if you think, you know, on a cold winter's night, some hot chocolate or a creamy caramel sauce shot glass with some churros in them. Some espresso brownie bites, mini lemon meringue pie or pavlovas, in summer ice creams and gelato. If you can make it little and sweet and it can be eaten quickly and without too much mess, you're onto a winner. Let's face facts. You've always been the planner and the organizer, and your fiance's eyes glaze over a little when you start talking about the details of your wedding day. But you really need someone to share this all with, to bounce ideas off, and someone who's not going to ruin the surprises, but also be supportive and maybe even offer a different perspective. So when you're needing to get a second opinion about your bridesmaid, your in-laws, or your first dance song, Unbridly Couples is your safe space. Unbridly hosts a private Facebook community where modern engaged couples can share ideas, chat, and solve problems, and generally just get freaking excited about their wedding. We also have a curated list of experienced wedding vendor professionals in there to offer suggestions and tips, insight into how to get the most out of your big day. But with no unsolicited DMs or pushy sales tactics, it's just not what Unbridly is about. So you can search for the Unbridly Couples group on Facebook or just click on the link in the show notes. I'll see you in there. Trending wedding tweak number 6 is having a fake exit. And there's a few different reasons for this. So maybe you've chosen a particular photography or videography package that ends at a certain time, and yet you still want to have a farewell at the end, an exit at the end of the night from your reception venue where you want your guests around you, like maybe in a guard of honor, maybe with some sparklers, however you're doing it, maybe streamers, whatever's going on. And you want the photographer to capture that. Now, if that were done with your timeline, that could be at midnight, that could be at 1 a.m., who knows? But if you've only got your photographer until 10:30, for argument's sake, you might be staging a fake exit, a photo shoot, if you like, of the exit. So then you capture it, but then you all go back into the party. Or it might be that you might have some older guests, maybe guests who aren't that well, something like that, who have come out specifically for your wedding, and you'd still like to keep them included in your exit. You want them in those photos as well. That might be a reason for a fake exit. And there are another couple of reasons why you would have a fake exit as well. But yeah, it's that idea of staging you leaving, having the photos of that, and then heading back in and partying. It might be a two-part reception that you've got going on. It could be that you have your mature friends and family come for the start and then they take off. And maybe everyone else stays around afterwards, and that's the dance party part. That's when things get a little bit loose. Completely up to you, but becoming more popular. Trending tweak number 7 is planned quiet time with or without snacks and or drinks for just the two of you. So this could be time taken after your family photos. So imagine your ceremony is done. Everyone's congratulated you. You've had some family, other group photos taken, and then you could tee up some alone time. Or it could be just before you're announced into your reception. So same, but you spend some time with your fam and friends during that pre-dinner drinks, cocktail time, mix, mingle, laugh, hug. And then around 20 to 25 minutes before your reception entry, slip away somewhere private, quiet, and just recalibrate, catch up before you head into your party. Or it might be that everything carries on as usual, but when your photographer, videographer, or content creation team slip you outside for some golden hour photo goodness, you could also take some drinks or snacks and a picnic rug and just take some time for yourselves. Now, I'm not talking about being away from everyone for a really long time and having everyone go, where did they go? What are they doing? But a dedicated 15 minutes to reconnect, check in with each other, and actually eat something. Because seriously, ask someone who's been married recently. Ask them how much of their own wedding food they actually got to eat. Because my bet is it's not much, if any. Carve out the time on your timeline and tell your fam, wedding party, planner, caterer, coordinator, photographer, and whoever else might be able to help you to get that time, or alternatively, those people who might put a spanner in the works and get in the way, that this is non-negotiable. This is just for you, a moment for yourselves. Maybe it's a cuddle, a kiss, laugh, dance, if that's what feels good. Trending tweak number 8 is, and I love this, late night snacks. So, you know, it might be 11-ish. You might only have an extra hour left of your reception. But it's about at that time where dinner's a bit of a distant memory and you might have been dancing, talking, laughing. You've expended a lot of energy. Usually, if you're out on the town, you might be driving home and going through some drive-through at that time. So you know what you're craving, right? You want hamburgers. You want French fries, grilled cheese sandwiches, maybe some pizza. Hot cinnamon donuts are amazing and they are the most delightful surprise. Now, obviously, late night snacks would be an extra add-on to your budget, but oh my God, they are one of the best memories from a lot of different weddings that I've been to, those late night snacks and not having them announced, you know, not knowing that they're coming is the best. Maybe I'm just impressed by food. I'm really not sure. It's a very simple urge, but I know for most people, getting that little surprise at the end of the night is something to talk about, is something to be excited about. And number 9, the final trending tweak that I'm seeing more and more of is having a last dance, not the first one. Sure, everyone's focused on the first one, but the last dance of the night together at the venue, but after everyone has left. So imagine that, having one last romantic song. And whether you've got your DJ playing, your band, your muso, or whether you've just got it playing on a device in the corner going through a speaker, having that one special song, that last dance at the end of the night, it's a little nightcap. It's a little full stop on the end of your day. And hearing all your guests walk away in the background, you might want to keep your photographer, videographer, content creator there. Or you might say, do you know what, guys? This is just for us. Just for us, just for our memories. And yeah, take that special time and indulge in yourselves and your wedding and your relationship and really make the most of your day so you can remember it fondly for many, many years to come. And so just to recap the 9 trending wedding tweaks that I'm seeing a lot of at the moment that will help you to get more out of your wedding day and create meaningful memories for you and your loved ones are, number 1, seating your immediate family and friends diagonally across the aisle from you during your ceremony. Number 2, having your wedding party sit for at least some of your ceremony. Number 3, stopping during your recessional for a quick kiss, maybe a dip and kiss, just a pash, completely up to you. Number 4, having a kitchen slab and a fake cake to cut. 5 is having a champagne tower and having that champagne tower pour with or without roaming desserts. Number 6, a fake exit from your reception and capturing that with photos or video. Number 7, planned quiet time, just you and your brand new husband, wife, spouse. Number 8, midnight snacks. Yum. And number 9, sharing the very last dance of the night with just the two of you. Tell me what you're doing on your wedding day. Tell me about the little improvements and tweaks that are important to you. You can chat with me in my DMs on Instagram or in the Unbridled Couples community on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. That about wraps it up for this episode of the Unbridled podcast. For the links and resources we mentioned, please head to the show notes. And if you love the show, please review and subscribe on the podcast platform you're on now so you don't miss out on a single episode. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, weddings are a team sport. Catch you soon.